We're having a catch up with a dear, dear friend. I've known Eddie for a couple of years now, and Eddie is a great source of inspiration. He traveled to New York not too long ago with Brand South Africa on the sidelines of the recent United Nations General Assembly. South Africa had quite a spotlight. You know, we unveiled a Madiba statue. There were a number of young leaders from South Africa present there as well. And Eddie, as a human rights activist and future space traveler, as well, and he inspired the South Africans that were gathered there. Many of them live abroad, and the whole message was he was telling them on how they can play their part. He's been recognized as one of the world's top 30 thinkers under 30. He's one of the 50 most powerful people living with a disability on the planet, and he has achieved a lot in his very young life. So much more than I think many of us could ever hope to achieve. He's done it already. Only what, 28, if my maths serves me right. I think it's hardly a surprise that Eddie has got even bigger plans, even greater plans. He always talks about how his biggest achievement, his biggest accomplishment has been outliving his prognosis. As doctors had said that he wasn't supposed to live beyond the age of 5. And now, on the 29th of November, he turned 28. He was diagnosed with spinal muscular atrophy at the age of 2, and he has gone on to study at Oxford. He made it there, he graduated there, he formed his organization, Evolve, which Evolve Initiative. So now he's planning on traveling to space and addressing all of us and the United Nations from the space station. Hello, Eddie.
Hi, Azza. Oh, it's good to be here. This feels like my second home.
I hear you.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
I just loved watching the fun and the adventure you were having during the Global Citizen Madness and week or so that hit us.
I woke up, I think that entire week I had laryngitis. My throat was so sore from screaming my lungs out and talking and having fun. Yeah. So it was pretty good.
Was it a dream come true to meet someone like Oprah?
It was. I wheeled myself into the room and I was like, Oprah, and she's like, my love. So we had a moment. It was very, very special.
Yes.
I mean, Oprah has been a part of my spiritual evolution and journey over the last couple of years. So that was very surreal.
Yes. Yeah. And she continues. She continues to shape our evolution,
absolutely,
our growth.
Oh, yeah.
With the work that she does.
In
I always call
way.
Her Money Oprah.
Yes.
You know, like an aunt. And
yes,
I have an imaginary grandmother, Maya Angelou. And I guess we'll have to adopt Gail as well.
Yes.
You know, as
yes.
The
we
other
have
aunt.
To. We have to.
So you have this audacious.
Mm.
And I think you quoted Oprah, in fact, in one of your Instagram posts about how big you have to dream in life. Your dreams have to scare you.
They do. Otherwise, they're not big enough. Mm. And I think this is really important as well for those of us that occupy the intersections of multiple forms of oppression and social exclusion. As a young, Black, queer, disabled person, I need to dream bigger than my circumstances. And I often say to people when I give my motivational talks that you are bigger and more expansive than the space you currently occupy.
Yes.
And that's really what my entire advocacy is about. It's about how can we all live an extraordinary life?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. And I love the fact that you've taken, for me anyway, this is how I see your work, Eddie, that it is not just advocating for people with disabilities. You are an advocate for all of us, for all of us in how we could be inspired to do better, to shape the world, to be a better place, but to also dream and reach further than we imagined we could. I remember at the Mail and Guardian Young 200 list when it was being announced, and talking about how we are all, in fact, a testament of possibilities.
We are.
Mm.
We are living manifestations of possibility for one another. And that is really what I'm striving for, is how can we move beyond zero, right? Mm. So what that means for me, you know, in the context of disability, I often say to people that, you know, the ramp is great. I'm very grateful for the ramp. I'm glad that I'm able to have access to buildings and the built environment, but I don't just want the ramp. I want the entire building. I want disabled people to be fabulous, right? Like we need a pipeline of disabled CEOs. There isn't a single visibly disabled CEO on the JSC, 100 list of companies. So we need to see, the face of leadership change, mm-hmm. right? And that is what I'm deeply invested in.
Yeah. I was moved when you also said that beyond the ramp, beyond compliance, yeah. you want us to also talk about the emotional and personal so mm-hmm. we can experience the totality of our humanity, you know.
It's self-actualization. Absolutely. Right? And that is the last frontier, I feel. I feel that, you know, the people that have come before me have paved the way for civil rights in the context of disability. So, I'm able to get into the room. But once I'm in the room, once yes. we're here, looking into each other's eyes, talking, there is another dimension about life, about joy, about intimacy, about aspiration, about hopes, right? And so part of my work is about how do we humanize the statistic? Because behind these ghastly statistics that we quote, right, they're real human beings mm. and there's lost potential there. Mm. And so I really want to bring that to the forefront.
So we recently marked the International Day of Persons with Disabilities on the 3rd of December. And mm-hmm. On the day, we spoke to an incredible man. And I'll tell you about him maybe on another time. But you also talk about growing up facing people with the challenges that you faced, that people living with disabilities faced, were things like accessing institutions and yeah. social services. So today, when you look at young people particularly, what do you feel are some of the biggest challenges they face?
Well, you know, I often say that the more barriers I seem to break down, the more inaccessibility I experience. And it sounds like, it sounds a bit contradictory saying that. But essentially what that means is that the more audacious we become as young disabled people and we insist on just living our lives, going about our business, wanting to just, exercise the fullness of our humanity, then there's resistance, right? Mm-hmm. Because literally the day after World Disability Day, I was on my way to Durban to give a keynote at a conference that was put together by the World Bank. And on my return, my wheelchair was damaged mm-hmm. by an airline. And it was a terrible situation. And I was at home and I received hundreds of messages from young people with disabilities all over the country, all over the world, saying that they live in fear, that they're scared to travel. Imagine that. They're yeah. scared to get onto a plane because they don't know what will happen to their wheelchairs upon arrival, right? And so for me, that's a reminder that, I've been able to do so much with my life and with my voice, but yet, if I'm going through these daily occurrences of systematic exclusion and, all kinds of really awful things, what more people whose voices aren't amplified in the same way that mine is? And so for me, it goes to show that there is so much more that we need to do, and we need to raise the level of ambition. Mm. So it's not enough to just think about access to the basic building blocks of life, but we need to elevate the conversation big time so that people can start living the lives that they really want to live.
Yes, we have to be so much more ambitious about the kind of world we want to live in.
Definitely.
That is inclusive and that is for all of us. You were wearing a sweater with the symbol for HI.
Yes.
When you went to a Global Citizen. So you're working with this initiative as well in collaboration with them. And their focus largely has to do with the funding gap, raising awareness around the funding gap mm-hmm. for children with disabilities and accessing education.
Yeah.
How big is this gap and how are we failing young children?
It's huge. It's huge. So HI is HI, Humanity and Inclusion. Mm-hmm. They won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1997 and I'm their global ambassador. alongside Neymar Jr., the football player. And essentially, the cause that we are seeking to put a spotlight on is that currently 32 million children with disabilities have no access to education whatsoever. That is a staggering number. And actually, disabled children are the largest group that is out of school. So, you know, we often speak about, that kids are out of school, but the majority of those are constituted by children living with disabilities. So it is an enormous gap. I mean, Azza, every time I speak with you, I keep bringing up this statistic and it hasn't changed.
Yeah.
90% of children with disabilities across the developing world have never seen the inside of a classroom. And that figure 90%. Has not changed. 90%. And just think about the fact that, yes, that's a statistic, but those are real people.
Yeah.
Children with dreams and hopes and aspirations. And we need to think about it in those terms. And that's why I cannot rest. It's so important that we aim. The sky's not the limit.
No.
We need to aim for space in order to make a dent. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I want to talk about the space mission. We're going to get to it. We're going to get to it in a moment. But isolation, loneliness, just the sense of being left behind must be a real problem, because we don't also consider the impact, the mental health impact of a society that is excluding you.
Yeah, I mean, think about what it does to you on an emotional, psychological, and spiritual level.
Yeah.
If you are deliberately left out of spaces. You know, I often say that part of my job is I want to be a point of reference, because I never had a point of reference growing up, right? Mm. So I want young people who look like me to be able to say, that's a point of reference. There's somebody that we can look to, somebody that has just slayed, you know, like completely slayed. And I think that's so important. You know, we're speaking about Oprah earlier. I think part of what makes her so fantastic is that she's been a point of reference for us, you know, as a black woman who's this media mogul. That iconic status means something socially. And I think we need that moment for disability as well. So if I can somehow contribute to that, then...
No,
hey.
You're dishing it out. Every couple of months, every couple of weeks, Eddie, you dish it out. You absolutely dish it out. And it's not just for children or at the level of young people and children.
Right.
You give talks to corporates.
Yes.
You go in there and talk about the importance of inclusivity.
Mm.
And it's been popularly said that if you don't deliberately, intentionally, and proactively include, you will unintentionally exclude.
True. And I would add to that and say that inclusion is not just the right thing to do.
Yeah.
It's the smart thing to do. So I often say to the, you know, the corporates, the people that I speak with, who are decision makers, inclusion is a side of innovation. It's a way of looking at the world. When you think inclusively, that results in innovation. It changes the game completely, because you need to think differently. You need to become resourceful. You need to think about, you know, something as simple as putting a dip at the end of the street.
Yes, the edge cutters.
Right?
Yeah.
Those are fantastic, not just for people like me with mobility devices, but for parents with strollers, right? So you open it up, right? There are universal benefits to inclusion.
Mm.
And so I think that's the message that we need to keep pushing and instilling.
I like that. .. It is the smart thing to do. It is not just the right thing to do. It is the smart thing to do. So you have made this incredible statement of intent. You have actioned. You're well on your way in making this a reality. Boundaries constantly. You're making sure that boundaries are pushed, that doors are kicked down, that walls are broken down. And the statement of intent was for you to go up in space. I remember 2017 opening up with that. You know, it's like, what's happening? Eddie's going to space. So this year, has it been productive in terms of the laying of the ground towards that mission?
It's been productive. I mean, when you put an audacious goal like that out into the universe, it's huge. It's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's watching, you know. So I've been scared, you know, thinking about like, oh my goodness, Eddie, maybe you should have kept this to yourself. Now you told the whole world. But I'm so excited because this is a symbolic moment. It's not just about going to space. It's about using space as the ultimate stage.
Yeah.
To give a message, right? If you had 20 minutes to address the world from outer space, what would you say? That's literally the challenge. And a couple of weeks ago, I signed a deal with MTV. Yes. They've got a reach of about 450 million households around the world. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get my own show.
Yes.
And they're going to document this entire journey from beginning to end.
Yes.
And so it's been amazing. And, you know, every day I keep bringing people on board. I could even get it. I'm even emotional just thinking about it, but
yes.
It's a moment.
Mm.
It's a moment.
I'm still stuck on what you said about if you had 20 minutes.
Yeah.
To address the world from the space station, International Space Station, from space, what do you say?
Can I ask you?
I'm still stuck there.
What would you say?
I'm still stuck because
I'm crowdsourcing. I think part of what I want to do is that this is bigger than me. It is. It's not about me, actually. This is a moment for all of us and for anybody that has ever felt excluded by society. What would you say?
Oh, it's so historic. It is seminal. It's so historic. It's daunting. Just the thought of it. It mm-hmm. is beautiful at the same time. And yet it's big. It's huge.
Big. It is big.
It's galactic.
Yes. Galactic.
So one of the things that you needed to tick on that list was mm-hmm. securing the backing of the United Nations.
Yes.
Which you've done.
Yes, which I've done.
Yes.
Which I'm very, very grateful for. I'm currently engaging the Office of the Deputy Secretary General of the UN. And our beloved Dr. Phumzile Mnambunguka mm-hmm. has come on board as well and thrown her office behind this project. So I'm delighted that this is, you know, an opportunity to also push for concerted action around the sustainable development goals
mm-hmm.
Through this epic voyage. So that's a big tick.
Yes.
Tick that off.
So move over, living the dream with Somizi. Move over, being Bona.
Yes.
We have a new reality star in town.
Eddie.
And changing the world at that as well. So the project you're going to start, MTV is mm-hmm. going to start documenting your journey.
Yes, production starts in 2019.
Uh-huh.
Yes, so production starts in 2019. And we are pushing to have the mission happen in 2019 as well. And that's all I'm at liberty
to say. I was going
yes.
to, oh, like, where's Richard Branson? Elon Musk? Somebody? Who? NASA? Who? So that's all that you're going to say. And we'll respect that because we do want it to unfold through the TV show.
Yeah.
So they'll be following your journey, capturing your personal thoughts,
mm-hmm.
The meetings you'll be having.
The meetings, the fears, the anxiety, the preparation. And also, I think, what makes this so unique is that I have a degenerative disability, right? So the older I get, the weaker I become.
Yeah.
My disability is quite severe. And so, there are risks associated with this. But I am prepared to make it happen. And so all of that will be captured.
Are you putting your life at risk, Eddie?
Well, I think my mom might be listening.
What do the doctors say?
Well, so I've got like really great lung capacity. And so that's that initial clearance. I've gotten the green light, working with a group of doctors based out of New York. But it's an ongoing journey. I mean, there are many facets to this. It's not just, it's a medical and scientific feat as well.
Hmm.
And so that the complexities around that is going to be captured in the show as well.
We'll be part of it.
Yeah.
When you went to Oxford, you needed to also go with your 24-hour attendant.
Mm.
Will this be the same as well? Have you looked at the practicalities around that?
Yes, this will be the same as well.
Okay.
And I have set the wheels in motion to have a really great team around me. And Oxford was such a great learning curve.
Right.
Because
I mean, at the time, at the time, yes. what that preparation was for might not have been clear, might not have been known.
No, right.
But
exactly.
now in hindsight, that exercise was important.
That literally just gave me chills because I think you're absolutely right that I, you know, as difficult as Oxford was, it needed to happen the way that it happened because now I am prepared and I've been put on this trajectory.
Yes.
And again, preparation meeting the moment of opportunity.
Oh, Eddie, gosh, I think it's one of those, what we've just talked about for me is one of those conversations where I think after the show, you need silence. You know, you drive in your car, you reflect quietly, you know, and you let it settle, you let it sit, you let it, you watch it. You just, as T.D. Jakes would say, sometimes you need to just sit back and stare at something and just let it do the talking, you know. So I feel like what you're about to do, what you've just shared with us, is something that is awe-inspiring, but also that we'll have to sit with for a while.
Yeah. I'm still trying to process everything.
Yes.
I think I probably will afterwards, like after it's all done. Like, did that just happen?
I don't know what somebody does after that, by the way. I don't know what you do after
that.
Lay on
the couch, watch TV.
For the rest of your life. Never. Never. Never Eddie Ndopu. So, big up to MTV. I think they have stepped into a gap and have done something really bold because then the whole world is going to be able to follow your journey. And big up to you.
Aww.
For the kahunas that you have.
Thank you, my friend.
For all of us.
Thank you, my friend.
Love you, Eddie.
I love you more.
That was Eddie Ndopu, everybody. We're going to podcast this conversation and we'll continue to bring you updates of this incredible human feat. I think it's a reminder. It's a reminder that we need to dream in an audacious way. Just dream big. Let your dreams scare you and then go after them with every single thing that you have.